CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you've joined us. Looking forward to being with you, as we always are, every weekday afternoon at this time. And so if you got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call again, 888-ASK-CSN, as we set this time aside to do this very thing, and that's just to answer questions right out of the Bible. And oftentimes, as people study their Bible on their own, they come across something they don't understand, and we want to just let you know that we're here for you. And sometimes even things outside of the Bible are good to ask as well. And so, again, 888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. And joining us today, Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha, Mike, and aloha to all the listeners out there on CSN and, of course, the show, To Every Man an Answer. Looking forward to the program and the great questions that come in from all the folks out there. It's always thrilling, Mike, as they say every week, pretty much, is to see people wanting to learn the Word of God, to deal with topics that are affecting our lives and our culture and across the world. Could be politics, could be prophecy, could be doctrine and so forth. So it's good to hear from the folks out there. They want to grow, they want to learn, they want to deepen their faith in Christ and fall deeper in love with their Heavenly Father. So it's a great time to be ministering the gospel in these last days. Good to be with you, Mike.
Yeah, Jesus said we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. How important it is then that we do that. You know, Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself and to love God with your whole mind, soul, and spirit. You know, and I'll tell you, if people would do that, even within the church, so much would be done. But you know, unfortunately, Dave, most of the time, people are just trying to find something wrong with everybody else. I'm sure it just breaks God's heart. Being about your Father's business. You see, we got a big lost world. We need to reach out to them. And if we don't do it, nobody else is. So I just want to encourage you, let your light shine. Be about your daddy's business and love people into the kingdom of heaven. To the phones we go, we go. We have Taylor on the line in Oregon. Hi, welcome.
Hello, Mike. Hi, Daryl. I listen to Daryl.
Good. How may we help?
Well, I have an unbeliever that was questioning me about us being the bride of Christ. He couldn't figure it out, and I couldn't explain it to him. Could you do it as well, explaining for it?
Well, I believe it has to do with that deep fellowship, and I believe God uses that analogy to explain the level that God places those people who have never seen him, have seen his magnificence, have seen all of his glory, have seen all of heaven. See, the angels saw all that, but we've never seen that. And yet we still choose to go where someone loves us that will be that intimacy, like the bride of Christ, like the Bible talks about. And the Bible says he elevated us above the angels. It says someday you will judge angels. I believe this is what caused the devil and the third of the host of heaven to reject God. They didn't mind that man was a little lower than the angels, as we find David saying, but then to be elevated above the angels in a relationship, not just above the angels, but then to be called into the inner part of God's heart, like you would a bride. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, when we look at the church as the bride of Christ, it's a magnificent statement by the Lord. He is the bridegroom, we are the bride, meaning we will be connected and married to him forever and ever. Now, some people say, well, what about my marriage right now? I guarantee you that you'll be loving your husband or loving your wife more than you've ever loved them before, because everything will be perfect. It's important to realize. Now, some people go, praise the Lord, I'm looking forward to that, be away from my husband, or praise the Lord, no, I don't like this. But I guarantee you're going to be loving your spouse more than ever. And we're going to have more fun than ever we've ever had in our entire existence. And to be the bride of Christ just talks about that intimate relationship that we have with him. As Mike just shared, it's deep, it's rich, it's pure. It's going to be a great blessing. Wherever Jesus goes, we will always be with him. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself. And it's beautiful the way God has described this for us. So we understand that we're going to be married to the Son of God, and we are prepared as a bride, and we're clothed in his righteousness. And one glorious day, he's going to take us to heaven. In fact, the Bible declares there's going to be, in Revelation 19, 7 and 9, it says, let us rejoice and exalted, give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. There's a couple of things I see here. One is, when we go to heaven, we're going to be with the Lord forever. We're going to be invited to the marriage supper. We're the bride. We're invited to the marriage supper. That means there's going to be eating in heaven. It's going to be marvelous. And just as the Lord ate in his glorified body, as he, in his resurrected state, he was eating the broiled fish and the bread and so forth on the beach. And also he ate with the disciples when he was in with them, displaying himself to Thomas. So we're going to be eating in heaven forever. You won't gain weight. You're never going to get wrinkles. You're never going to get old. You're sinless. Your everything is pure. And it's going to be fantastic, more than we can ever imagine. Just think of the greatest moment in your life and multiply by a trillion, probably what you're looking at. So anyway, Mac, I'll give it back to you.
Yep. Hope that helps, Taylor.
That helped a lot. Thank you very much. We both were great. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless, my friend.
Amen. And stay on the line. Send you out some books, DVDs. Great to share with your friends. Let's go to David in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Yes, good afternoon.
How may we help?
Well, I'll tell you what. Hopefully it's a simple question. Last week I was listening to a sermon on, and it may have been the same station that you were on. There was a gentleman that gave a very good message, but he kept using this phrase called flee the blood, P-L-E-A-D, the blood. And he kept saying, like, you know, demons coming at you, plead the blood. You need this, plead the blood, plead the blood. And, like, I was wondering, is there a biblical support for saying that? And do I invoke any special powers of Jesus by saying, I plead the blood?
Okay, Daryl. No, it's not in the Bible. Your thoughts, Daryl?
People come up with some of this stuff, and what is the blood of Christ all about anyway? His blood atonement has redeemed us from our sins. He paid the ultimate price there on the cross. He shed his holy and righteous blood, if you will, to cleanse us from all sin, and we're set free. The atonement is with the blood of Jesus Christ. He says the kofar, or the covering, came to the temple as they sacrificed the animals there at the temple. It was a covering, but it wasn't an atonement. Jesus' blood has atoned for our sins. And not only our past sins, but our present sins and our future sins. We're found in Christ. It's called justification. We're justified by Christ. Paul writes, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And thus we have this redemption through his blood. So this plea of the blood thing is, it's a bit, you don't see that Jesus is teaching his disciples in the Gospels, plead the blood, plead the blood. He just says that in him is all authority. So use the name of Jesus Christ against demons and so forth. In him is all authority. And when the devil approached Jesus in the temptation and Jesus fought against the devil, what did he use? He used the word of God. He says, it is written, it is written, it is written. So what are we being taught? We use the word of God against the strongholds of the enemy, against the demons or people that might be demon-possessed and so forth, in the authority of Jesus Christ. Also, you don't find this plea the blood situation throughout the book of Acts, and you don't find instructions for pleading the blood in the epistles, which is the trifold or the trifecta of sound doctrine, the Gospels, the book of Acts, and the epistles. If you have if meet that three criteria, then you have sound doctrine. But you don't see this plead the blood, plead the blood. The Bible says we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're cleansed as we have fellowship with God and renew our relationship with him. Mike, I'll give it over to you.
Hope that helps, David.
Well, yes, I was just kind of hoping maybe that if I used that phrase, it would give me a little extra, but apparently not.
No, it's all in the name of Jesus, my friend.
Yeah, our power comes through being in the will of God and then we're then empowered by him to do what God's called us to do. And I believe that that is where it comes from. People are always looking for a magic potion or words or something like this. It's a personal relationship with God. Now, Father, this is what I believe this is what you're calling me to do. Lead me in this direction. And I believe when we're where God wants us to be, I believe that's where the anointing and the power of God is at. But the idea that we're going to invoke some word, plead the blood, or some other thing, I don't believe that is some magical thing. Now, when Jude, in the book of Jude, when the Bible tells us that Michael was contending over Moses' body, he didn't bring railing accusation against the devil. He said, "The Lord rebuke you." And that's the only thing that we have to say to the devil. Always keep Jesus between you and the devil. That's the best thing I can tell anyone. It doesn't say to plead the blood. It doesn't say anything else. It says, "The Lord rebuke you." And if that's what the mighty angel said to the devil, that's what I would say as well. I never want to take on any powers of darkness or any uncharted land in our lives, if you know what I mean, the things that God has us do, by thinking that I can use a phrase and that's going to get me more extra power. I just simply say what I want to say, and that is, "The Lord rebuke you." That is what we have to say. That's not a catchphrase. That's an actual statement that we find is to be used against the devil. So it doesn't give us magic powers, but it identifies us with God and that Jesus is Lord. Any last thoughts?
Yeah, I do. If you look to Acts chapter 16, verse 16, it goes as follows. "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit for fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out of her that very hour." So did he plead the blood? No, he commanded in the name of Jesus Christ. The power is found in Christ, in his name and who he is and his authority, that the girl was delivered from the demon. And it's interesting, this particular passage is, this went on for a few days. So Paul didn't recognize that she had a demon in her in the beginning, but over time, Spirit of God ministered to his heart that she did, and thus she was delivered from the demon as he commanded in the name of Jesus Christ for the girl to be delivered from that demon. So there's a beautiful example of how we deal with demon possession. And of course, Paul writes to us in Ephesians 6, we're to stand against the wiles of the enemy, his strategies, against principalities and powers and forces of darkness in the lower heavens and so forth. How do we stand against them? We put on the whole armor of God. So now we know what we're to put on. We put on the whole armor of God. We're able to recognize the tactics of the enemy, the strategies of the enemy, the temptations of the enemy. So we are strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Well, I hope that helps, David.
Thank you very much. God bless.
Stay on the line. Stay on the line. Send you out some books, DVDs. I think you'll enjoy sharing them with your friends. Let's go to Randy, Fort Smith, Arkansas. Hi, welcome.
Hello, Brother Mike.
Hi.
Hi, I love your program. Love you all. I'm a ordained Pentecostal evangelist based here out of Arkansas, but I just want to make a quick comment. You know, people use the phrase, especially those of in the charismatic and Pentecostal faith, of "I plead the blood of Jesus." That's because the reason people will say that is because Jesus' blood is pure, it's holy, and it's sinless, and so Satan can't cross the bloodline. So a lot of times, that's what people use that phrase to say, "I plead the blood of Jesus," because they're praying hard. God, protect this person. God, minister to them. God, put a hedge of protection of the Holy Ghost around them. God, surround them and guide them and provide for them. And that's where a lot of that context that's used in the Pentecostal faith of I plead the blood of Jesus. And so that's the meaning behind that. And so
we know the meaning. What we were trying to say is it's not found in the Bible to do that. I don't know who came up with that initially, but we're not told to do that in the Bible. Not that it is wrong. Please don't misunderstand me. But that is not really a prescribed thing that, you know, when you get in this tough difficulty and you really want to get God's attention, plead the blood. It doesn't say that. And this is why I want to caution people, because oftentimes there are sayings within churches, denominations, that sound spiritual, but they're not really in the Bible. Cleanliness is next to godliness, not in the Bible. Well, you know that Bible verse, God helps those that help themselves. No, that's not in the Bible either. In fact, just the opposite. I think God helps those who can't help themselves. But what the question was is, what does that do? Is that a special thing in the Bible that supercharges my prayer? Not in the Bible. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, it's an expression, but it's not a biblical expression. And I think that's why we want to just follow the word of God. It kind of opens up a Pandora's box on all kinds of expressions. And, you know, plant your seed, faith, money with our ministry kind of a deal. And God will have to give you a harvest. Well, that's not found in the scriptures. It's called manipulation when it comes to money. And it's a rather greedy statement. But you're manipulating people. There is one passage in Revelation 12:11 I've come across. It says, they triumphed over Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And the blood of the Lamb means Jesus has redeemed the martyred saints and so forth in the tribulation period. So that's where they triumph, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, that they believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, who died for their sins, who rose from the grave. So this is the testimony that we have. And the blood atonement has paid the price for our sins. And this is very important that we recognize the blood atonement, because if there's no other way of salvation without the blood of the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Lamb of God who came to die for our sins. And by his blood, we are saved. See, that's the atonement. Now, pleading the blood, you know, I'm not going to get dogmatic on this. I mean, it's an expression, but it's not a biblical expression, that's all. And so it's just something that we want to make sure that we're treating the word of God the way we should treat it, and we should deal with situations in our world or with Satan's strategies against us in a biblical manner, so we have a clear understanding. And, you know, really, one last thing I'll just get to share. We don't have to hype ourselves up when it comes to against the devil or against anything. We just need to pray. Jesus, you ask anything in my name, and I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. But sometimes we create this atmosphere of, oh my gosh, plead the blood. You know, it's like, wait a minute, time out. Jesus has conquered sin, he's conquered death, and he's conquered the devil, and he's done it for us. So we walk in that authority, not into some kind of a thrill moment that I've got to do this because something's going on in my life, and I better start going crazy a bit as a Christian. No, it's just we can walk calmly and carry a big stick, if you will, in the name of Jesus Christ is a big stick. Mike?
Hope that helps, Randy.
Have a good day, gentlemen.
Thank
God
you.
Bless you. Thanks so much for the call. Stay on the line if you like. Send you a couple of things I think you'll like. And certainly the movie Jesus, based on the book of Luke, is just really great to show anybody. So stay on the line. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to David in Joplin, Missouri. Hi, welcome.
Hello?
Hi, how may we help?
Okay, we're here. In Luke 4, 28. Verse 28 through 30, they were going to throw Jesus off the brow of a hill because he preached it. How did Jesus escape the crowd?
Well, it tells me that he looked probably very much like everybody else in his day. You see, today we have a concept of Jesus that he has a halo, glows in the dark. He's a blonde-haired, blue-eyed-looking Irishman. I believe Jesus just simply looked like everybody else. In fact, this tells me a lot, too, because when Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus with a kiss, why didn't Judas just tell the Roman guard, get the one with the halo, get the one that's glowing in the dark? No, he looked like everybody else. And I think this is why not only was he able to disappear in the crowd, but also it was not his time to die. And I believe that, again, even as Jesus, for all of us as well, until our testimony here on this earth is done, I believe we're pretty much indestructible. I've seen this over and over again, people trying to come against the gospel, trying to come against ministries, and the trap they fall in themselves over and over and over again. This is just the way it works. Jesus' ministry had not yet came to its full fruition. And so therefore, I believe Jesus not only disappeared in the crowd, possibly the Father helped him, but certainly he looked like the people in his culture of the day. Your thoughts?
Yeah, remember in the resurrected state of our Lord on the road to Emmaus, there was the two that he was ministering to, and the Bible says their vision was held back. The other thing about the Lord is, you know, here's one who's able to walk on water and to calm the stormy seas and to feed the multitudes with a few loaves and fishes. So whatever miracle God wants to do at any moment in time, he can. And if it's to restrain the folks from casting him off the hill there, the cliff, he can do it because, as Mike said, his time was not due until he would go to the cross and die for our sins. Again, the power of God working in him for our benefit to realize that who he is by his healing of the blind, the lame, the deaf, raising people from the grave, casting out demons, healing people of leprosy and all kinds of diseases. This was a manifestation of who he is. He is truly Emmanuel, God with us, the second person of the Trinity. So it's of no great power for him just to restrain the folks that were around him at that time and then to easily walk away. Mike?
So I hope that answers it for you.
Yes, it did. I was just wondering, because when somebody's angry at you, they're not going to let you just walk through the crowd. So I was wondering how he did it. You know, did he just walk or be invisible? There's many different ways that could have happened.
I believe, again, that they didn't have PA systems in those days. And I've seen enough riots in my life to know that sometimes you have to really watch the videos over and over again to find out who's fighting who. And so it may very well been that. So I think that is, and I think that's a very good observation, Daryl, that God can withhold certain things from people's thoughts as well. Or maybe, well, I don't know, why are we mad at the guy? I don't know why we're mad at him. He said something, I don't know. You know, so it may very well be that there was a few instigating the riot. The rest of the people had nothing against Jesus, which I think was the case. And so when Jesus then was in the masses, they you know, why do we need to grab him? He didn't do anything to us. So that is what I would appear to interpret the scripture as. I would be careful, again, as we see so often in the Christian bookstores, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Irishman Jesus or the one that glows in the dark, all those things. I think those are you know, perhaps maybe intriguing for children, but for us that read the Bible, we realize that, as the Bible says, there was no comeliness in him that we would desire him. In other words, he was so good looking. You don't find that. It says that he, I believe, looked like people of his time. And I think this is why. And also, I believe his clothes also were the same. I don't think he was, you know, get the one with the Rolex watch. You know, no, I you know, get the one with the Gucci suit. No, the Gucci robe or whatever they had then. I don't know. I think he just dressed like everybody else. And so, you know, after a couple people back, it'd be pretty hard to identify him. So hope that helps.
It says in verse 30, then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. Yeah. So he just turned around from the cliff. I think he allowed this manifestation of their jealousy and envy of him to take place to the degree of, okay, you're even going to take me to the cliff to throw me off, but that's not going to happen because it's not my time to die. So then he just turns around and walks through the midst. We think about Sodom and Gomorrah, how the two angels had come to Lot's house, and the community, the homosexual community, was beating on the door. They wanted to rape them, and then they slammed the door shut, brought Lot back in, and then they blinded them all. They were all blinded at that moment in time, and they were still trying to get to the door, but they were blinded. I think about the Tower of Babel. You know, they're all building this tower under their God for their own self-exaltation, and yet God confounded their languages and confused their languages. And thus we have the languages of our world today. And so, you know, God can do anything. So for Jesus to walk through the midst without any problem is no problem at all. So there you go. Mike?
Hope that helps.
Thank you, it does.
God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. If you've got any more questions, hey, be sure to call us. Stay online. Send you out some books and DVDs. 8888. Ask the Ascends the number call if you want to be part of the program today. And to Karen we go in Oregon. Hi and welcome.
Hello. Hi. Hear me okay, because I'm a stolen speakerphone. So I'm just going in for a prayer request. I was a little worried that we were getting into the second half here and we would take a break, but my daughter is going under a serious rare disease. She has a tethered cord. Her actual spinal cord is tethered to her spine. And she has to go in for neurology, has to go in there and loosen it up. And it's a very serious operation, as well as the recovery is 6 to 8 weeks of not being able to bend your back, stay in bed, basically. So just prayer for the family and the kids and the mom to have strength through this.
Yes, Karen. So important. You know, I mean, it's such a, it really hurts when we see people we love hurt, and those that, not only a person that hurt, but see the parents oftentimes wanting to help and not being able to do anything. Yes, we will pray about this. We're coming up on a break, everyone. Normally we just pray right through it, but we got this break and we'll pray after. So we'll be right back right after this.
Did you know that every day Preborn's network of clinics experiences hundreds of miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds.
So when I came to my first visit and I had my sonogram and seeing the heartbeat, it really hit home that, oh my gosh, there's a miracle literally growing inside of my womb.
Because of you who donated to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn is able to offer for women the blessing of life. Someday you may meet a baby that you rescued and you can give them a hug, or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
How about this? Some actual good news on the healthcare front, even as costs just keep skyrocketing. So if you're 65 or older, MediShare now offers MediShare 65 Plus. Call them. You can talk to them about this. A lot of people are taking advantage of this now, because even if you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are out-of-pocket things, deductibles and copays that just keep going up. And the whole point is to help you by giving you a low, consistent monthly payment that fills in the gaps. In fact, I can tell you how much MediShare 65 Plus is. For example, it's $99 a month up to age 75. It keeps costs under control. That helps with peace of mind. MediShare is trusted, too. It's been around for 30 years, and it's a community of people who help each other. Business owners, retirees, pastors, teachers. People love being part of it. Here's the number you can call now. They are easy to talk to. Call 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
And And we want to welcome you back to part two of Terry Man Answer here on this Thursday afternoon with Daryl Skinner. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. Daryl is the pastor of Calvary Chapel there in beautiful, I want to say Honolulu, but it's actually Pearl Harbor. So if you're visiting in the Honolulu area, I know that Daryl would love to see you there. Many people do stop by, don't they, Daryl?
They do, and it's a real joy to meet with them and to fellowship with them for that moment of time and hear that they're listening to CSN and to Everman and Answer, and they're enjoying the education, the information, the inspiration that takes place on CSN, and they're truly blessed. And it's really special because, you know what, when anybody comes in like this and, you know, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they love the Lord Jesus Christ, it's sweet fellowship from the moment we meet until we say goodbye. And it's I'm glad they're enjoying the islands, having a great vacation. We have beautiful weather out here all the time, and it's a lot of fun. Great historical sites, too, by the way. Pearl Harbor, if you come to Hawaii for the first time, you've got to go to Pearl Harbor, see the Arizona Memorial. It's very moving, great little museum they have over there, and some other submarine, and of course, the Missouri's over there, too, the battleship. It's a great time, great tours. And, of course, the beach is phenomenal. The water's warm. And you'll get a little bit sunburned, so be careful.
And head for the North Shore where the big waves are in the surfers.
Absolutely. Can't forget that North Shore. Absolutely. It's a great time out here. But and come to church. We'll teach you the Word of God. Amen.
Amen. So you get more than just a vacation. You get an internal inspiration there. So check that out.
There you go. Thanks, Mike.
8888. Ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. Got some lines open. We're going to go back to Karen in Oregon for a prayer request for, now, what was it? A severed spinal cord, dear?
So this is my daughter, and she's a stepdaughter, but she's still, I've been with her since she was 20 months old. Apparently it might have happened when she was born. It could have happened later in life, but her spinal cord is actually attached somehow to her backbone. So the spinal fluids are not flowing through to her brain. So she's got numbness in the hands, and she's had 2 years of going to doctors, you know, 8 hours away just to try to figure out what was going on with her. And finally, we had a neurologist here in Bend, Oregon, that is the only one on the West Coast that does this procedure, that will actually go in and untether the spinal cord from the backbone. It's a very tricky situation. She can't hardly touch anything or she will paralyze the patient. So praying for her lovely hands to be guided by the Lord, as well as the recovery is just horrendous. She can't move a whole lot because she has to have that not reattach, but yet be free moving and not have any bending and not open it up so that the spinal fluids would flow. So she's out on her bed for like 6 to 8 weeks. So
we definitely will pray for her. Yeah. Well, Daryl, why don't you just lift her up in prayer and the family? It always hurts to hear when people hurt. And so we want to lift her up and encourage not only her, but everybody that ministers to her as well.
Now, Karen, do you want to give the name or do you want to hold off the name?
Yeah, it's Sabrina Clark.
Sabrina, okay,
and
very good.
She'll be going underneath the anesthesia on Monday, and it's Dr. Pang, P-A-N-G, that's doing the surgery.
Very good. Let's pray together.
Yes, let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we rejoice in your love. And Jesus, you are truly the great physician. And you have allowed doctors and nurses and those in the medical field to gain great knowledge and understanding regarding the human body. Our bodies are in a fallen state. And whether you heal miraculously, which is what we would love to see, Lord Jesus, may you heal her body miraculously. That is Sabrina. That'd be awesome to just adjust that spinal cord off the connection to the bone and so forth, so that the fluids would flow wonderfully, Lord God. And otherwise, if you're going to use Dr. Pang, Lord, we just trust in you just guiding those hands and those fingers and the skills and the talents this doctor has to do this particular surgery. And may everything come out well, smoothly, and the healing will be effectively and efficiently. And so, Lord God, we just trust in you for all things. Lord Jesus, may you be glorified in Sabrina's life and in her family and Karen's life, of course, as we just trust in you for all things. May you just anoint and bless mightily and abundantly. May all glory be given to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Karen. We'll
Karen,
be keeping
our
you in prayer.
Are with you. Monday, please let everybody. Us know how everything goes. Yeah. And because we always, in the family of God, we always look at the we share one another's burdens, as the Bible says. Stay in line, and I'll send out some books and things to you. And Karen, God bless you. If you need us, we're here, okay?
Thank you very much. And I do just look forward to giving you a praise report when this is all said and done.
Amen. Amen. And so, stay in line. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Shannon in Sonora, California. Hi, and welcome.
Yes, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. The question that I have for you today is, I do elderly care, and I have a client that I've been working with for a long time now, and she's in her 80s, her late 80s, and she was raised Catholic, but she's been attending a Church of Christ, and she got baptized in that church probably 10 years ago. And she, I've been talking to her a lot, and she says that she believes that everybody, you know, is going to get to heaven and that you just have to be good, which is her Catholic upbringing. And because she said no one can answer the question for her that what about the people, you know, in other countries that have never heard the gospel and they have no knowledge of Jesus or anything. Well, she said they're going to go to heaven. And, you know, I tried to, you know, tell her about the Bible and that says that, you know, the word is going to be taken everywhere. And just, you know, and then today she specifically said, well, I don't believe that you need Jesus to get to heaven. You just need to be good. And so I just wondered how I could answer that question about, you know, that nobody, some people have never heard it, the word, so... You know, they're not sinning, but we're all sinners. So.
Well, it's clear that she does not know the gospel, and it's clear that she doesn't really know the plan of salvation. To say that all people are going to heaven, if you're just good, then Jesus would have never had to die on the cross. The Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Christ Jesus. And so because of that, very clearly, the Bible says, as Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said all the religions of the world are bogus. So I really believe then you have to go back to what the Bible says. And I think this is, again, going, and, you know, I've talked to people a lot of times, and they'll say, you know, and I'll say, well, who's Jesus? Oh, Jesus, he was one of the great teachers, Buddha, Muhammad, Jesus, you know. Well, did you ever read what Jesus said? Well, what do you mean by that? Well, Jesus said that he was the only way to the Father, and you must believe in him. Now, if Jesus is one of the greats, as you just said, and yet he said he's the only way to the Father, either he's a liar and not great, or he is the only way to the Father, and what he says is true. And all of a sudden, that changes the dynamic from religion to a personal understanding of who do you believe God is. Daryl, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I think I read a book when I was a brand new Christian. This woman had authored this book. It was a very good book. I can't remember the name of it, but she said, you know, if there's any other way to get us to heaven, then God was a fool to send his son to die a bloody death upon a cross. And this is what he's done for us. Jesus came and died for us for a purpose. And to think that everybody's going to heaven, just read to her from Luke 16, where Jesus gives a historical event of a rich man and Lazarus, so that he explains that there's people in a place called Hades waiting for the final judgment, and that will take place. You go to Revelation 19 also, and you have the people's names not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire. So she is living in biblical ignorance. She's not been taught the word of God, which is just a tragic thing. And, you know, the Bible says for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says also there's none righteous, no, not one. And, you know, it's in fact, it says our righteousness is as filthy rags in the book of Isaiah. I think it's 64:6. And that speaks of a woman's menstrual rag. It's very graphic. And so God says there's, you know, when you compare yourself to God, he's holy and righteous in all his ways. You can compare yourself to your fellow man and say, well, I'm a good person compared to fellow man, but you have to compare yourself to God. This is why it took the ultimate price to be paid for us, which the Son of God, the Holy Son of God, came and lived a sinless life on earth and then willingly went to the cross and willingly shed his blood for us upon that cross and died for our sins. And so it's explaining these things to her, but Luke 16 talks about life after death, talks about people that are in Hades waiting for the final judgment and so forth. And I think that would be a good example to share with her that her ideas are wrong. And for people across the world, you know, all across the world, it's important to realize creation declares the glory of God. There is a creator. He's available for all. The Holy Spirit's job is to be going across the whole world, convicting the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. So everybody is without excuse. And if anyone wants to know God, God can use a missionary, God can use a dream, God can use an angel, and they will know God. They will come to God. But if they want to live for their sins and reject God through various religious beliefs or through sinful lifestyles, it'll be their own undoing, and they will perish in their own sins. But Christ came to save them. And really, today's world right now, the whole world knows about Christmas. The whole world knows about Easter and so forth. The whole world knows about the Christian faith. And so it's a tough thing for her to say, well, what about these people? God knows. Here, one last thing, I'll end here. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. He knows that tribal person in the Amazon or in the Congo, the deepest jungles of darkest Africa. He knows exactly where they're at, and he's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance, that is to belief in Jesus Christ, his son. So that's God's heart, and he's going to do everything he can to save that soul, but they want to reject him to the point of death. That's their choice, and they will head to hell by rejecting Jesus Christ, the son of God. Mike?
Yeah, Jeremiah 29:13 says, when you seek me, you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, it doesn't say religion. It says when you seek God, God will reveal himself to you. And so I believe that as somebody that would be in the Congo or somewhere else, they see the natural order of things. I believe if there's an individual there that's really seeking to know God, I think God will reveal himself to him. There's many, many stories about even Muslims today who really are seeking to know God. And in dreams, Jesus appears to them. And I mean, it goes on and on about how God has a way of revealing himself to people who are true kingdom seekers. And I don't care whether you're in the Congo. I don't care if you're in New York. It doesn't make any difference. God will reveal himself to you. He'll bring somebody into your path. He'll do something to get the gospel. And so for people to use that as a cop-out, I really believe that this is a misunderstanding of God. And certainly when we go to the book of James, it talks about those in rebellion to God in book of Jude, it says they'll suffer the vengeance of eternal fire forever. So to say everyone at the end makes it, no, they don't. And we don't go to heaven because we're good. We go to heaven because he's good. We're wrapped in his righteousness. How many lies do you got to tell to be a liar? Just one. How many murders do you got to commit to be a murderer? Just one. We're all sinners, and we need to be saved by his grace. Hope that helps, Shannon.
Yes, thank you so much. That's exactly, you know, what I've been telling her. Just pray for her, and that she's getting, you know, to the end of her time here. And I thought that she was, you know, believe that, you know, and was saved, but she's not.
Yeah.
So God has.
Well, I'll send you some materials. I want to send you a little book called Time to Grow. If you can get that into her hands, it may really help her understand the difference between a theory of religion, religion in general, and a true relationship with Jesus Christ. Big difference. So if you stay in line, I'll get those out to you, Shannon, and, Anything else we can do to help, please let us know. We're here for you, okay?
Much. Bye.
God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to David. Hi, and welcome from Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Good afternoon, pastors. How y'all doing today?
Good. How may we help?
Yesterday and day before, I believe you were talking about someone had called in and wanted to know if a Muslim had converted to Christianity. A friend of mine, we volunteer at a food bank in Springdale, Arkansas. And so this guy, he was, his name's Tafuk. I can't pronounce his last name, but anyway, he lived in Indonesia. And so he had to read the Quran and so anyway, he did, but he didn't like reading the Quran because he didn't like where it says you have to kill to go to heaven. So anyway, they end up and they moved to Springdale, Arkansas. And so a friend of mine that's with the Gideon's International had given Tafuk a Gideon Bible and started inviting him to go to church with him. And so Tafuk has accepted Jesus Christ. He said he liked that Jesus was love and he didn't want to kill anybody. And so, yes, a Muslim friend of mine, and I work with him weekly at the at a food bank. So, true story.
Yeah, no, I know it is real, and you know, when you really examine a lot of these religions, and you really start reading their fine print, you find some pretty crazy stuff. You know, the Mormons, Satan and Jesus are brothers. How ridiculous is that? Where John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son. In the Greek, it's the only one he ever had. So there's none of this stuff. Then that God is a man like us. And as man is, God once was. As God is, man will become. That's what they say. But it's not true. Isaiah 44:6, it says, I am God alone. Besides me, there is no other anywhere. This isn't even taught in the Book of Mormon. This is taught in their other books or these other religions with these ideas. And people embrace this and they don't realize that it's a personal relationship between you and God. We're not going to become God someday. The Bible tells us that we are going to be at the feet of Jesus forever. We're his bride, not propagating our own planets. And when you understand this jihad mentality that oftentimes surrounds these Muslim ideas, it's quite frightening. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, you know, well, praise the Lord, the Gideon came along and gave him the Bible, and
amen.
This young man read the Bible, and the word of God will not come back void. It's the power of the word of God. You know, it's interesting, in the book of Acts, the Bible says the word of God was taught or preached some 40 different times, and it also says that the word of God multiplied into the cities. This is why we need to share the word of God with whoever they might be, whatever religion they're involved in, whatever cult they're involved in, so they hear the powerful word of God and its truth. As we just shared with the other lady regarding the Catholic woman, and she's thinking everybody's going to go to heaven. No, just read to her the word of God. Read John chapter 3 about the religious man Nicodemus, how he needed to get saved and how that rich man went to hell. And yet Lazarus was saved, went to Abraham's bosom. So it's important for us to always be sharing the word of God. And what rejoicing it is to hear that this one who was born to a Muslim family, and now he's a born-again believer, and he's living for Christ, and now he can reach his Muslim family with the gospel message as he grows in the Lord. And hopefully that'll springboard into more people being saved and being pulled out of Islam into a relationship with their Creator God, their Heavenly Father, and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one who died for their sins. As Mike said earlier, Jesus had said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He is the only one. He's the only truth. He's the only life. He just discounted and disregarded other religions and religious teachings and teachers. So it's very important. So let's keep marching on with the gospel, keep sharing their faith. And no matter what they're involved in, you never know. God's going to tap them on the shoulder and get them saved. So, Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Amen. David, thank you for calling back from yesterday on that, because I think it's always important. And I just saw here that you had called back. Thank you for doing that. And again, yes, Jesus is for everyone. If you like Stay Online, send you out some books, some DVDs, and you can share them with your friends, okay?
All right, but question, the lady that was on a minute ago, and she was talking about people knowing God or whatever type deal. I like the in James chapter 2, verse 19, it says, you believe in God, you do well. It says the demons
believe too, you know.
So they shudder. So I say to people, the demons believe in God, but they don't know about God. They don't have a heart knowledge. And then I go on and share the gospel with them. And many of them are, we have an open platform there. So we get to share the gospel, and we're having a lot of fun there.
Well, that's wonderful. And yes, that's a very true thing. Just acknowledging God. The Bible says only the fool has said in his heart there is no God. So you're saying you're not a fool, but that doesn't mean you're right with God, and it certainly doesn't believe his teachings are inside of you just to say you believe that there's a God. It goes back to that personal relationship. Again, the Old Testament shows us how far we miss the mark. The New Testament, fulfilled in Jesus Christ in our lives, the righteous requirements of the law now have been imputed to us, where we are called the children of God. So important. Stay in line, David. We'll get you fixed up with a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. We'll go to Bob, Roswell, New Mexico. Hi, welcome.
Hey, pastors. How are you today? Thank you for taking my call. Real quick comment. The first is, I love Jesus and I hate my sin. The other thing is, pastor, I listened to this gentleman talking about pleading the blood of Jesus. And for this Christian, I pled the blood once, November 7th, 1982, in a little church. I pled the blood of Jesus Christ over my sin. He forgave me of every sin. I was a murderer, a drunk, and a drug abuser, and a mean man. I used to beat people up. And I pled the blood. My sins were forgiven. I received him as Lord and Savior, and I became a new creation in Christ. That's when I pled the blood, once and only once.
Yep, that's the blood of Christ that covers our sins, and exactly. And, you know, when I lead people in a sinner's prayer, as an example, that's one of the things. Jesus, thank you for dying, shedding your blood on the cross for me. And I like I say, Bob, I think it's important because I think a lot of times we look for something to, I'm really going to get God's attention. And God already has our attention. He loves us. He wants to talk to us. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Well, exactly. And you know, I think the thing is, we must be biblical Christians. We just can't make it up as we go and have slogans and catchphrases and cliches. We hear it all the time, but you know, it's important that we know the word of God. There's people will say, we're two or three gathered in our midst, then, oh, God's going to answer our prayers. Well, no, he's going to answer your prayers if it's an individual prayer, because we pray individually. And God says, if you ask anything in my name, Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The two and three together means you're in agreement in regards to making a decision, a biblical decision, within the church and so forth. The Lord is in your midst because you're following the word of God. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God, John 1:1. So you follow the word, you're making an authoritative biblical decision. But he's always with us. Is he not in my midst? If I'm not around another believer? Of course he's in my midst. He's in my heart. We're born again of the Holy Spirit, and he's now filled us and clothed us in his righteousness. So it's important to realize that when we pray in Jesus' name, and also that we're living for the Lord. We're serving God, and he's going to honor our prayers as we are in the word of God. The word of God produces the will of God. So very important stuff for us as believers. Mike?
Yeah, and you know, that is why we are righteous. None of us go to heaven because we're good. Going back to our couple previous callers, we go to heaven because Jesus Christ is good, and we're clothed in his righteousness. Now, what washed the sin away was the blood of Jesus. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. And so where the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament could only cover the sin, it was Jesus's blood that was the perfect atonement that removed the sin. It was covered by the blood of bulls and goats, like you'd throw a sheet over a table you're in a living room that you're painting, but it didn't remove it. Jesus's blood did that once and for all. And now we are his children, divinely commissioned to preach the gospel to every creature. And so we want to do that. And like I always tell people, Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Mm-hmm. I remember at a pastor's conference, somebody said that one time, this guy put his hand up and he said, well, what else would you teach? And I remember Chuck Smith looked at the crowd and said, a lot of stuff, a lot of junk. Unfortunately, we have a lot of stuff that is being taught that isn't God. But you know what? The blood of Jesus is so precious. Stay on the line. We'll send you out some books and DVDs. Bob, thanks for being on, Daryl. Look forward to being back with you all. Until then, may the Lord keep you in the center of his love. God bless you. Good night.
Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.